Hey, I'm Jonathan Miller, and this is the Housing Helix Podcast. I'm a real estate appraiser, analyst, and blogger based in New York who is interested in pretty much anything related to housing with an analytical bent. The Housing Helix is the real estate conversation in long form with information, analysis, and commentary, as well as insights from housing-related experts that have something interesting to share. This episode and the entire podcast library are available as a free subscription through iTunes and at thehousinghelix.com. I hope you enjoy it.
This is a quick overview of the Washington, D.C. housing market for year ending 2010. Provided by RBI, Real Estate Business Intelligence, which is an MRIS company. MRIS is the go-to resource for real estate professionals and consumers in the Mid-Atlantic region and specifically the Washington, D.C. metro area. The headline of the press release from RBI indicated that Washington, D.C. home sales remain flat as mortgage financing remains a challenge. And the subheader was RBI year-end report indicates housing prices edge 2% higher as properties sell faster. So when we look at housing prices and housing prices trends, yes, housing prices did edge 2% higher year over year based on average sale price. We reached $416,750 in 2010, and in fact, median sale price increased about the same, 1.7% to $337,000 in 2010. I think it's better to characterize the housing market increase in price as a shift in the mix. In other words, 2009 was characterized by a heavy concentration of first-time buyers that had entered the market because of a number of reasons, a tax credit, falling mortgage rates, and a fairly hefty price correction from peak conditions a few years earlier. We do tend to see the entry-level market come back first as a housing market begins to recover. And that's what we had. We had more larger properties sell in 2010 than we did in 2009, hence the overall price indicators edged higher. So I'd characterize pricing in the region as stable or flat as opposed to rising. The other metric that I like to really focus on as a general rule because it leads prices is sales activity. And units sold in 2010 were up a very nominal 0.2% from the total of 2009. It reached 44,362 sales, and these are closed sales, unlike the pending home sales that we release every month through RBI, RBI's pending home sale index. And I think what's important about home sales or the units sold being essentially unchanged is that we went through a federal home buyer's tax credit, which was designed to help jumpstart the housing market nationally. We saw interest rates falling in 2009 and early first half of 2010. And we saw record affordability because prices were off of peak levels. And still, we had virtually no change in the level of sales activity. And in fact, for the last 4 years, beginning with 2007, housing sales, and you can see it in the chart that I included in the press release that is linked to this podcast, that housing sales or units sold is relatively flat or stable with a little dip in 2008, but for the last 4 years, unlike the peak years in peaking, actually the highest level of activity was in 2004, we're at roughly or almost half that level from just a few years ago. And that level has sustained for the last 4 years. So the tax credit didn't, I wouldn't look at the tax credit as stimulating sales activity. I think the tax credit, the purpose it served was to stabilize or keep home prices from falling. I think the real external influence on housing that has kept the housing market at from improving in a significant way, both in terms of pricing and sales activity, has been the challenges facing buyers in terms of obtaining mortgage financing. That mortgage lenders have remained very conservative, very tight. We certainly don't want the liberal lending policies of a few years ago, because that's why we're in the problems that we're in now as a national mortgage situation. However, lenders are very conservative, and as a result, in the metrics that we measure, we saw cash purchases jump 35% year over year, and this is a reflection, I think, primarily of tight mortgage underwriting for home purchasers, and also I think it's a statement about the foreclosure market that in the region, and those tend to be cash purchases as well. In fact, there were 7,258 cash sales. It's not just a handful. I mean, 7,258, which represents 16.4% market share. Now, this still pales in comparison to the market share of mortgage-financed purchases. Conventional and FHA financing comprise 43.3% and 31.5% market share, respectively. But those market shares are down slightly as a result of the increase in the number of cash buyers. And I think this is an important statement on whether or not we're seeing a near improvement in housing. I think it's contingent on where lenders decide to go with mortgage lending. We're not seeing significant easing in credit. And this is reflected and you could argue that maybe credit has gotten tighter over the year, because we are seeing an increase in cash purchases, and that is not a small characteristic of the market. The other thing that we looked at in this study was the difference between detached housing and attached housing. Detached housing being primarily single-family, standalone-type properties, versus attached housing, which would be more like co-ops, condos, and townhomes. What was interesting, and this correlates to the period of stability in home sales, was back in 2007, we saw detached housing represent a decade-low market share of 42.5%. During the boom, a lot of the new demand or surge in surplus activity was from the attached market through new development and conversion activity and new construction. The market share grew through 2010, reaching 48.6%. So we're nearly back to 50-50 as a market share between attached and detached housing. And because attached housing is less expensive and tended to focus or draw first-time buyers or lower-priced purchases, that's another reason why we, and this is that shift in the mix that I referred to earlier in the rise in prices between 2009 and 2010. One last point is that homes took an average of 3 weeks faster than they did in the prior year to sell, and that's largely because there is less competition. We did see a drop off, and although it's not part of this year-end report, we did in the pending home sale index report that was recently released, we did see year-end active inventory decline, and that meaning end of year versus end of year 09 to 2010. And that essentially means less competition, which does mean that homes do tend to sell faster. But it's important to put that in perspective. The average home took 65 days to sell in 2010, and that was 3 weeks faster than what we've averaged in 2009 of 88 days. However, over the last decade, the average days on market was 48 days. And so we're still 20 days, nearly 20 days slower to sell than what we've averaged over the decade. Arguably, that's an exaggeration, since the middle of the decade was characterized by really cheap credit, very accessible, and home sales were flying off the shelf. So we're comparing against that market. But it is encouraging that we aren't seeing inventory bloat, and we are seeing home sales sell faster in 2010 than they did in 2009. And that's a brief summary of the Washington, D.C. metro area housing market. The source data for this was RBI, Real Estate Business Intelligence. And you can access or drill down for more information at rbiintel.com.
That's it for this edition of the Housing Helix Podcast. As always, you can send comments and recommend guests to my email address, jmiller@millersamuel.com. This episode and the entire podcast library are available as a free subscription through iTunes and at thehousinghelix.com. So until next time, I'm Jonathan Miller, and thanks for listening to the Housing Helix Podcast.